Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben. Are you okay amid the new crisis?
Oh, well, I mean, hello for a start. Yes, I'm okay. How are you?
Good. No, I'm fine. But, you know, the new crisis that's engulfing us as a nation has got me very concerned.
And now, I haven't been listening to the news much recently. So, I mean, is there another variant?
No, this is a brand new crisis, and I'm beginning to think that Brexit might have been a good idea because this is started en France.
Oh no! So it's not COVID related.
It's not COVID, but it's bed bugs.
Bed bugs. Interesting.
Bed bugs. Ben, apparently in gay Paris, they are inundated with bed bugs. It's an infestation. Everyone's terrified. And the problem now is, Ben, that I'm seeing more and more reports of bed bugs over here. Coming over here, taking our bed bugs jobs.
Well, I
thought we'd stopped free movement. That's why we left.
Those bed bugs shouldn't have freedom of movement if we don't.
There's a lot of vacancies at GB News at the moment, so I thought I'd just throw a few things out. You never know. I didn't get this morning gig when that was up. We tried. That didn't go. But there's two vacancies at least at GB News now, mate.
I know that there are two current job vacancies at GB News, but for once in my life, I finally feel overqualified.
Yeah. What, you mean you're a decent human being? That's the problem. But anyway, it's the bed bugs. The bed bugs are here. I saw today somebody put a picture up. Now, I'm not quite sure what a bed bug looks like. It looks too big to me to be a bed bug, but they reckon they saw one on the London Underground.
What, sitting there reading a paper? How big was this thing?
It actually had a Dreams catalogue. It's having a look through, see which one it fancied. It was having a chat with the hippo next door.
That's going to be lost on any international listeners we've got at all.
Well,
Dreams is a company in the UK that sells beds. It was a good joke.
Do they have a hippo? Which one's got the hippo? One of them's got a hippo.
Isn't that the toilet paper that has the hippo?
No. Well, there might be one with a hippo. I don't think there's a toilet paper with a hippo.
Am I making this up? Am I going to have to Google this already?
Yeah. Did you not get the joke there? I threw a brilliant joke in.
Did I talk over your punchline? What was it?
Hippo.
Very good.
If there's not a toilet paper with a hippo on called Hippo, I'm starting. There's got to be a brand awareness situation. If they're not that well known, they need to be. Is there a toilet paper with a hippo as a mascot?
Yes, there is. Although I think that's more luck on my part than it is memory, because I don't really recognise the image I've just sent you, but there is absolutely a hippo toilet paper brand called Hippo.
Oh, it's just called Hippo?
Yeah, if you check your phone, I've just sent you a lovely picture of said...
Oh, look. Oh, yes, Hippo.
There you go.
I mean, it looks like one of those...
It's hideous, isn't it?
It looks like one of those really cheap ones.
only two ply.
Yeah, it's the sort of one you get in your little convenience store. Do you know what I mean? It's like 99p for 24 rolls. That's sort of quite two ply. Who's using two ply in 2023? Come on, people.
Outrageous.
Minimum four.
This is quite scary news because, I haven't been listening to the news recently. I was aware of background mutterings of bed bug infestations and things, but recently...
Oh, it's been an underground conversation for months, but now...
Recently, I've been getting out of bed thinking, God, why are my forearms so itchy?
Oh,
And to be honest, I'd rather think it was bed bugs than some sort of latent skin cancer or something. So that's great.
I know someone who did have bed bugs, and... they thought it was like an allergy to something because their arms were all swelling up. And it was like mosquito bites or hives. And they went to the doctor and the doctor gave them sort of antihistamines and all that stuff. And nothing would change. Nothing solved it. Then they found a bed bug. And when they eventually sort of lifted the mattress, there was so many of them. And they're a nightmare to get rid of. You either have to pay an absolute fortune for someone to come in or to do it yourself. I think it took them months and months to finally eradicate the problem because they're like They're like mini cockroaches, you know, nothing kills them.
Well, I have just renewed my house insurance, so could I just burn the place down and just move on?
You get one of those, like those bombs that you let off in the room, you know, those sort of bed bug bombs, but I don't know how effective they are, but I think that's what the experts might use if they come, but I think it's quite expensive to get your sort of pest control in to do it. So I've decided that I'm not going anywhere where I might be infected with bedbugs. I'm supposed to be going on the underground in a couple of weeks' time. I'm beginning to think I'm not going on the underground if there's bedbugs there.
No, I mean, you could share the Dreams catalogue.
Well, I prefer Benson's.
Another joke lost on international listeners. Benson's is a rival bed company.
It might have been Benson's who had the hippo. We still haven't got to the bottom of who had the hippo. They had their mattresses were like, they had the advert that went, "Do you believe in miracles?" Because they had coils, special coils in the mattresses. And a hippo was sort of writhing about on the miracoil mattress.
I've often wondered, is it the job of a advertiser, someone who works in advertising, who has to come up with a jingle, is it their job to make it as good as possible or as annoying as possible so it sticks in your mind? I suppose either way they win, because I believe in miracoils. It might be the shittest line I've ever heard to advertise any product. If you can think of a shitter line than "I believe in miracoils" for a bed, then tell me.
Yeah, well, are we just talking in general, right, sort of jingles for adverts?
Yeah, I mean, "We buy any car." Yeah, that's fucking annoying.
Obviously, the Go Compare man.
The Go Compare man, Wyn Evans, he is annoying as shit.
Shut up now.
I'm sure he's a lovely man, but that advert is deliberately annoying, surely.
Of course it is. The idea is it gets stuck in your head, isn't it? That's the whole...
So they're going
behind the jingle.
I mean, it's all bug related. It's all circling back to the bugs. It's like an earworm. They're just going for annoyance rather than quality. Because I would prefer a quality advert. Speaking of adverts, how many times do the people who sell Rose's chocolates still get together once a year to sing that annoying song, or have they finally knocked that on the head?
I haven't heard that for a long time. What do you mean? "Thank you very much for feeding William." "Thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very much for something, something. Thank you very, 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 very much."
Yes, that very, 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 very fucking annoying song. I haven't heard that for years.
No, I haven't heard it for a long time. I think that's due a revival. There are
The Coca-Cola "Holidays Are Coming" advert. Do we still get that?
Oh, that's an annual event, isn't it? I just want to say also that although I believe in miracles stuck in my head, it's the Silent Night bedding company. So it obviously didn't have great brand awareness for me, because they weren't even on my radar. I just remembered the fucking hippo. Apparently it was a hippo and a duck. That's a very odd relationship.
But, it's just taking a strange turn.
But do you think that like there are some advert jingles that I've always remembered from when you're a kid, and you'd like to hear them come back. You know, like the "If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club."
I hated club biscuits. They were disgusting.
Oh, I love a good club. I don't have them. I can't remember the last time I had a club biscuit. I want one now.
Especially the orange ones.
Orange or the mint one. Oh, lovely. "If you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club." And there was an advert when I was a kid.
You're getting far too overexcited, Trev.
I know. I think it was for, was it Cookie? And it was like a school photograph. And there was like a little kid who was too short, but he was right at the back. And if he ate a sausage roll that had been made with cookie, he floated up and it went, "Give him a lift, and give him a lift, and give him a lift, do Cookie." And I still sing that to myself sometimes.
This is one of those rare moments in the podcast where our slight difference in age is clear for all to hear.
Trio! Trio!
What about
Umbongo? Umbongo.
Yeah, the slightly problematic racist advertisement.
I think it's best we don't go down the Umbongo route these days. Is it really? But can you cancel a drink?
All these years later, you still remember they drink it in the Congo.
Of course. I mean, that was where it was That's where you knew it came from. That's where a bongo was made. What was the song for the a finger of fudge is just enough to give your kids a treat. A finger of fudge is just enough until it's time to eat. It's full of calories, goodness. I can't remember the rest.
I tell you what, mate. I went to see, as a birthday present, Mrs. Ben took me to see Peter Kay.
To see a finger of fudge.
Oh. It wasn't a big birthday, mate, no. She took me to see Peter Kay at the O2. Yeah. And Peter Kay, I mean, he's hilarious, but he is basically a walking nostalgia machine.
Yes.
And he started getting the microphone and saying basically to the audience, do you remember this one? A finger of fudge is just enough. And 20,000 people at the O2 Arena, all looking at each other, singing along merrily. And I'm looking at Mrs. Ben thinking, what's happening? Why is it everyone here knows these lyrics, but I don't? It was very surreal.
Yeah, again, that's a slight age difference. What were the ad jingles from your childhood? Do you remember?
Oh, I very clearly remember the Toys R Us advert with was it Jeffrey the dinosaur?
Jeffrey the giraffe.
The giraffe. He wasn't a dinosaur. He was a giraffe. Yeah. There's millions of something all under one roof. It's called Toys R Us. Toys R Us. Toys R Us.
That's right.
There you go.
Yes. Toys R Us.
I wish I could remember what the millions of things that were under one roof are, but I can't.
I think
toys,
it was just,
I suppose.
No, I think it was millions. There are millions of items. Is it items?
Items.
What scans there?
Nothing.
There are millions of goodies. No. Also, there are millions of Jeffreys. I don't know. There are millions of Jeffreys all under one roof. I don't know what it was. God, that's going to annoy us, isn't it? That's
yeah,
one of those
I mean,
someone's
going to
have to get in touch. Yeah.
What did Toys R Us have millions of under their one roof? I mean, toys is the logical answer. But
yeah, but
I don't think
scan.
It was.
No, it doesn't scan, does it? There was always PC World, that was quite an annoying one.
Oh, where in the world? PC World.
Where in the world? Yeah, that was annoying. There was also the one, again, this might be more from my childhood. I couldn't tell you what it was for, but they'd sing something like, oh, I hope it's chips, it's chips. I hope it's chips, it's chips.
Is that to the tune of Que Sera Sera?
Yes, it was, yeah. So that was around a lot when I was a kid, that one.
So someone who sells chips, they went to their best advertising guy and they said, right, we need a jingle. And they came back with, oh, it's chips, it's chips.
No, I hope it's chips, because I think it was a builder coming home and he was thinking about what he was going to have for dinner. There was more to the lyrics. I can't remember the verse. I only remember the chorus. But he didn't know whether he's... It was a bit of a sexist advert, but bear in mind this was the 80s where things probably hadn't moved on quite as much. So he was thinking about what his missus was cooking him for dinner.
Was it pre or post Mbongo?
Oh, it was around the Mbongo brackets. It was within the same sort of insensitive time period. And so he's imagining what his missus has made for him because he's been out, you know, grafting. And he desperately hoping it was chips. He doesn't want mash. He doesn't want baked potato. He wants chips. So
aim high, mate. Yeah.
Aim high. Do you remember Curry Motors?
I don't. Is that...
That
go
was
on.
More radio. It was more a radio one. And it goes, Curry Motors. And the best thing about it was after Curry Motors, there was like the sound of a motorbike started out. So it would go, Curry Motors, wow, nice people to do business with.
I may have mentioned this before, but that is one of my bugbears. I do think...
Is it a bed bugbear?
I do think car horns, sirens and engine noise should be banned from radio adverts because they send me into a panic whenever I'm driving. I never know where it's coming from.
So anyway, bed bugs. Bugs are a worry. I wonder if you could get chocolate flavoured. You know, they do chocolate covered ants.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could have chocolate covered. You wouldn't really want that, though, because they're sucking blood. So you wouldn't really want to be biting into a bed bug. Lots of all health and safety issues.
Are you all right, mate? Is the cost of living crisis hitting you a bit hard? You're wanting to eat your bed bugs?
I'm just thinking if we have how do we deal with it? If there's an infestation, if the country is overcome by bed bugs, what can we do with them? There's a cost of living crisis. People need food. Let's...
I'll tell you what, though, mate. Chips.
If you like a lot of bed bug in your biscuit, join our club.
Trev, do you remember a while ago on this podcast, we trawled, well, I trawled Mumsnet and found the delightful thread of Am I Being Unreasonable?
Yes, which I think we found out that most of the time, yes, you are being unreasonable. Remember rightly.
I have been given an absolute corker of an Am I Being Unreasonable?
Okay.
And I don't want to sway you either way before we begin. So I just thought, can I read you this and then get your assessment of... Okay. And remember the question, am I being unreasonable? Yeah. And this is a lovely person from Mumsnet. We live in a quiet street with about 10 houses in it. I have mobility issues and also struggle with my mental health. It's important for me to have as much sleep as possible, so I tend to go to bed at 10:30 p.m. and I don't get up until about 11 a.m. Very recently, a family moved in next door. They have three children who are lovely and not a problem. But their mother annoys me, and I feel she is being selfish. She works strange hours and most days leaves the house to go to work at 4:30 a.m. She drives an old car and the door creaks when she opens it. She then normally sits in the car with it running for 5 minutes before driving off. The father is fine. I have spoken to her and told her about my health issues and asked her if she'd consider changing her working hours, replace her car, or park her car in a road away from the house. She said she was sorry that she disturbs me, but she cannot change her working hours due to the nature of her job. She said they can't afford to replace the car as it's an old car and she has to warm it up before going anywhere. She admits the door creaks and said that oiling it didn't help. She is not willing to park away from her home and she doesn't think it's safe to walk on her own during early morning hours with no streetlights. She is making me more poorly. I am now having to sleep a bit in the afternoon due to being disturbed, and as a result, I am missing out on me time. What can I do about it? I'm fed up of her selfish behaviour.
Wow.
Trev, the question is she being unreasonable?
Well, to start with, can you just remind me from the very top what this lady's issues are? Did you say she has health issues?
She has mobility issues and also struggles with mental health issues.
Sorry to hear that, right? Very yes. Sorry to hear that.
I concur.
But it sounds to me like she has quite a lot of me time. If she's going to bed at 10:30 and getting up at 11, that's a lot of just me time, I think.
That's 12 and a half hours sleep. What is she? I don't want to sound uncaring, but that's a lot of sleep.
Is she a cat? I mean, what's her... And I think also the three options that she's given this lady, because it sounds like this lady is probably having to work quite hard. If she's getting up to go to work at 4:30, it's clearly not a very well-paid position because she can't afford a new car. She's
exactly.
Probably working for minimum wage. Don't know what the nature of her work is, but she might be working in the NHS. She might be a teacher. But I think the three options that Me Time Lady has given her were all rather unreasonable. One, change the hours. Well, we know that's not possible. That's a stupid thing to say to someone. I don't believe that's in any rational mind would put that forward as a solution to this particular problem.
It's very naive to think someone can just change their hours, because most people who had the ability to alter their work hours probably wouldn't ever end up starting the day at 4:30 in the morning.
Exactly. Option number two, get a new car. It's a ridiculous demand to make on somebody. The third option, sort the creaky door out. Now, the car owner has said they tried oiling it. It doesn't help. Fair enough.
The car owner admitted it was creaky, apologised and said oiling it hasn't worked.
Yeah, but then she's offered no other solution. Like, she's not even brought to them a can of WD-40. Now, that may not solve the problem either, but at least offer that as a solution. She's offered no solutions. All she's come with is problems.
It's ridiculous. My answer would be yes, you're being incredibly unreasonable. And I wouldn't dream of saying that to my neighbours. Don't piss off your neighbours. Famously good advice. Why not buy a pair of earbuds or ear defenders? Yeah. Maybe not ear defenders, but it's not a pneumatic drill. But, you know, little pop in your ears, ear foamy things.
The one thing I would say is... I mean, I wonder how old this lady's car is. I've got a very old car. Now, unless it's the winter, I get it in the winter where you have to wait for it to warm up and de-ice and all that stuff. But apart from that, I, what kind of car needs to warm up for 5 minutes? That's my only slight question of the car owner. I'm on her side 100%, but that would be my one slight question. Why? What car needs warming up for 5 minutes before you can go?
That, I mean, that I will grant you is a concession that I am willing to make as well. That does seem like, what possible problem are you having that needs the car to warm up? But then again, the amount I know about how cars work,
well,
there could very well be a reason. So I don't know.
Anyone that knows anything about cars is now shouting at us. Fucking idiots. It's probably oil temperature or...
it's probably the drive belt, the camshaft.
They're probably saying, don't you look at the temperature before you set off, Trev's like, no, I'll start the engine and go. If it works, I'm happy.
Yeah. The last thing I learned about how cars work was how to drive one and pass a test. That was the day I stopped caring about how cars work.
I do keep an eye on the temperature gauge in the car because I did have an issue once when I was driving home from work one night. And I know the temperature gauge is about 90. That's where it is. It's about 12 o'clock on the gauge and that's 90. 90 what? I don't know. Is it 90 degrees? Is it 90 Fahrenheit? I don't know what the 90 is, but I think that's where it should be. And I'm coming home from work one night and there's a lot of steam coming from the bonnet. And I look at the temperature and it's way up. It's as far as it will go. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, what's happened? I think I phoned my dad and said, can I drive home and worry about it when I get home? And he went, no. No. You need to pull over now and call the RAC.
That sounds like good fatherly advice.
Mm. And what it turned out, it was something to do with it. Something to do with the water somewhere. I'm not the man to talk to about cars. All I'm saying is I don't know many cars that need 5 minutes to warm up.
No, I'm probably going to be immediately and humiliatingly proved wrong by anyone who listens to us and corrects me straight away. But I'm pretty sure that would be 90 degrees Fahrenheit. I think if the levels in your car were getting to 90 degrees centigrade, you'd be in serious trouble.
Well, I'd have no idea, mate. I haven't got a clue. What if my car is powered by steam? It's very old.
Surely I've seen your car.
Surely that would get me out of the ULEZ fee.
I'm surprised it isn't powered by your feet like the Flintstones.
It's not old enough. This is something I really don't know about cars, but I do remember this being a thing when I was a kid, being in cars. I don't know what a choke is. Like, when I was a kid, a choke was a thing you had to do something with. Do you know what a choke is?
Not on a car, I don't, but I'm sure that on lawnmowers and like...
Oh, they'd have a choke, yeah.
They have like this little rubbery, squishy button. My dad's a proper man, right? So when he was trying to teach me how to use these tools, he would occasionally say, when I'm saying, Dad, the thing won't start. Yeah. He would say, oh, it's the choke. You've got to push the choke in three times, then start it. And it would magically work. So all I know the choke to be is this magical button that my dad taught me to use that he understands. I have no idea what it is, but it makes lawnmowers work. So there you go.
I think there's a generation, probably one or two above our generations, Ben, where the choke is a thing. To us, it's a magic thing. Because like you say, I do remember as a child being in a car and it wouldn't start and someone would go, oh, you got to put the choke in, or is the choke out? And they push this button and suddenly the car would start. You think that the choke, whatever it was fucking incredible. And I don't know if this woman's car needs a choke. Maybe so, that's part of the problem.
I think I liked you as your a few podcasts ago in your role of judge. Do you think this woman is being unreasonable?
Do you want me to do the judge voice?
Do you remember the judge voice? I seem to remember being very annoying, but you can do.
I suspect it was something like this.
Sounds right.
It's my go-to voice. I suspect in this particular case, Mr. Harmer, the court finds in favour of the owner of the car, and one would suggest to the plaintiff that perhaps they invest either in... I'll give you the three options, as you gave the defendant three options. One, move to another bedroom. Two, maybe get some double glazing installed, or triple glazing even. Or number three, fucking well move.
Thank you.
Now, Ben, last week on the podcast, we did some more Would You Rathers, which is a fairly popular segment on the podcast, I think.
I always have fun when we do it.
But regular listener Chris has sent us a new challenge for this week. So thank you very much, Chris, for getting involved. It's lovely. It's always lovely to get a message from a listener, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We welcome them.
Well, any message, as long as it's polite. You know, if you don't send abuse.
I mean, beggars can't be choosers, Trev. You can send us your abuse as well if you want. It's fine.
Yeah, but I'm the one who has to read them. So, I'd rather not have... I mean, if you don't like this, fine, but keep the abuse to a minimum. But anyway, Chris sent us this. I said, I really enjoy your Would You Rather segments, but have you tried some what-ifs? So he sent me a link to a website with a whole lot of what-if questions. So I thought we could give a few of these a shot.
Okay, let's do it.
First one. What if spiders were 10 feet tall? Well, I think
it'd be easy to see.
Well, they would be easy to see, but you'd... Yes, but if you were in a house where they couldn't fit in a house, that's the other good thing. They probably couldn't fit in a house without damaging brickwork or, you know, ceilings.
That's
when you
true.
Think, what's the height of the room I'm sitting in right now? I would say this is probably an 8 foot high room. So if the spider comes in, it's breaking through the ceiling into the top bedroom, causing a lot of havoc. And that would be a massive downside to it. But would it preclude them from even considering coming into a house if they were 10 feet tall?
The issue wouldn't be so much in your house. It would be, do these 10-foot tall spiders have a bloodlust for humans now? Because, let's face it, a blue bottle fly isn't really going to fill the belly of a 10-foot spider, is it?
It would certainly need a massive supply of them. I mean, maybe a couple of bumblebees. Have you seen the size of bumblebees these days? I reckon a couple of them would satisfy a 10... Because, I mean, well, the thing about the 10-foot spider is it's going to have a lot of energy just to power all of those legs. Because that's what I'm thinking is the legs are pretty much going to be 10 feet. With the body on top. So just imagine it's the giant legs that are going to need to be powered. That's going to take a lot of energy. So yeah, would it turn its attentions to eating humans? I mean, you know, maybe that wouldn't be a terrible thing if humans were suddenly not top of the food chain.
I don't know if it would turn its attention to humans, because spiders, I don't know why they scare us. I think it's the way they move and their sudden appearance.
Yes.
But
yes.
They ultimately don't... They're not out to do us harm, are they? At all, really?
No, I mean, everyone always says, oh, they're more scared of you than you are of it. Bollocks. Absolute bullshit. They're not scared of us at all. They run out and go, yeah, fuck you. Come on. I'm running the whole length of this room and you can't catch me. So screw you.
So I don't know. I mean... Could we use it to our advantage? Could we harness them and like ride them to work?
Yes, again.
Cost of living crisis. There's not going to be, you know, council tax and car tax and insurance on a spider, is there?
And environmentally, a lot greener if we were all travelling by spider.
Although I swear spiders are getting...
Carnage bring in some spider tax.
You really don't like Sadiq Khan, do you? I swear spiders are getting... bigger, because and I don't want to wang on about being a postman again, but what happens is I do tend to walk up a lot of people's garden paths. As a hazard of the job, I do tend to go face first through 100 spider webs a month. But then I walked through one the other day, it almost caught me.
Yes,
it felt like silk. Honestly, I felt it pull me backwards with my forehead. It was ridiculously strong.
Well, the strength of web is incredible. I think it's one of the strongest materials known to man, the web. I was talking to my mum earlier. Now, my mum doesn't like spiders. Well, she doesn't like the indoor spiders, your house spider. She can't stand, terrified. And that's where I think my arachnophobia came from, because as a child, when there was a spider in the house, it was absolute chaos. My mum would, you know, be woo, and stuff would be thrown up in the air, and my dad would be going, what is it? It's only a spider. It's only a spot. Come on. And he'd get it in his hands. He'd just pick it up and, you know, get rid of it without any problems, where the rest of us would be terrified. Now, I'm not quite so frightened of them these days because I've lived on my own long enough that I just have to deal with them. But my mum doesn't mind the outdoor, the garden spider, the one with the big arses. You know the ones?
Yeah, I know the ones.
The sort of Beyoncés of the spider world. The sort of Jennifer Lopez of the arachnid.
Oh,
right. And they'd had one that had made a web from one side of their front garden path to the other. And my mum had sort of had to break through it a little bit, but felt bad because she's sort of, they've put a lot of effort. She said, "We, you know, the spider's put a lot of effort into making it. I keep apologising to it." But she said, "Now, I think this is going too far. I'm all for helping out the beasts of the world when you can." But she said, "Your dad and I are now ducking under the web so as not to break it any further."
That's ridiculous.
I think that's too far. So what we're saying is that if spiders were 10 feet tall,
In truth, I wouldn't leave the house.
No. I think they'd eventually crush us. I think the human race would be annihilated by 10-foot spiders.
Yes, I wouldn't leave the house without a flamethrower, I think. So, the tragic thing is I wouldn't know how to make one because the choke wouldn't work. So I'd be stuck.
I don't think modern spiders have a choke. I think it's an automatic choke on a modern spider. Right, let's do another one. What if every time you coughed, you laid a golden egg? I think that'd be fine.
That's not a problem.
Because presumably, I mean, the first couple of times, I reckon it'll be painful. But once things have stretched and you've got more used to it.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd probably take up smoking again if I laid a golden egg every time I coughed. I mean, it would pay for itself.
Could you sell them, though? Would people want a golden egg that's come out of a human?
Well, you could melt it down. They'd never know.
Yeah, you'd get yourself a furnace. What do they call it? A smelter. Get yourself a smelter and just sit there coughing all day and just popping out golden eggs left, right and centre, melting them down. I mean, questions would be asked to start with. They'd think, are you part of that massive gold heist that happened years ago? Suddenly you've got all this gold that's available. And they'd start asking questions. But the good thing is you could prove it. If anyone said to you, where's this gold coming? You just go, hang on.
Yeah. Although, do you think the value of gold might plummet if people realised where it came from?
I don't know. People. I don't know whether it would be used for... I don't think anyone would want a wedding ring made out of a human golden egg.
Well, exactly. So, therefore, the value of gold goes through the floor because you produce a lovely gold wedding band for your bride to be.
Yeah.
Oh, darling, where did you get this? Oh, well, Trev had a coughing fit and he shit this out and I melted it down and now I'm going to use it as a symbol of my undying love for you. Yeah. I'm not sure that's quite as romantic.
You don't have to say where it's come from, though, do you? You have to explain. Like, we don't know where half the gold comes from. If you bought a wedding ring, when you bought Mrs. Ben a wedding ring, did you investigate where the gold had come from?
No. No, I didn't.
No. So you don't know what the... Could be Nazi gold. You don't know.
It's a very strange accusation to level at me that my marriage is consecrated with Nazi gold.
I'm just saying, if you haven't asked questions...
Viva las the questions!
Do you want to do one more?
Why not? We're in this deep. Let's go for one more.
What if you could swap your body with the body of an animal? Well, first of all, which animal would you choose?
I think I have an answer for that, but I'm interested to hear yours first.
It's a difficult one. I mean, there's a bit of me that thinks I wouldn't mind being like a hippo.
A hippo?
Yeah,
because you're interested in selling toilet paper, are you? Or?
Yeah, or beds. One of the two. And I quite fancy ducks. So,
oh, good.
No, but what I'm thinking is, like a hippo's it's a mighty animal. You know, I think a hippo kills more humans every year than I think maybe lions or something. There's some statistic. I don't know the statistic, but there's some statistic like that.
Oh, hippos are deadly. Yeah,
but everyone thinks they're lovely. Like people,
they're not.
Hippos,
now,
but they're
killing
vicious.
Machines, hippos. If you get anywhere near a hippo, run for your fucking life.
Yeah, but they're bloody fast as well. I mean, that's the other thing. They're fast in the water. They're very fast on land, but everyone loves them. Everyone loves a hippo. You can wallow about in mud. I mean, just rolling about in mud. Let's face it, that's going to be fun, isn't it? So I think a hippo.
I think that sounds nice. I was initially thinking a silverback gorilla because you've got basically the same kind of movement humans have. Maybe I'm not opening my mind up as much as I should to this potential possibility of changing entirely.
You just want to be a hairy human.
But they're super strong, silverback gorillas.
Yeah.
But now that we're on the whole toilet paper vibe, I actually love ducks. And the ability to fly, and I know ducks don't do much, although they do quite a bit of flying in certain seasons, don't they?
Yeah, I think ducks have a good flap every now and again, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I love watching the ducks. It's one of my favourite things to do. So I think to be a duck, have a bit of a flap, a bit of a fly and a bit of a swim and eat some bread, lovely.
Now, is bread good for you as a duck? Because I find this is an argument no one's ever really settled. Some people say, well, you mustn't feed ducks bread, and then I've heard other people say, oh, no, it's okay. I mean, obviously, if everyone's feeding them a lot of bread, that's not good. I think you're supposed to take like seeds or like corn or something to feed
I think
them.
Once you give them bread, you've kind of spoilt them for life. They won't tolerate anything else. It's all inferior once they've tasted the bread.
Do you want to hear something absolutely disgusting?
Now, I do genuinely love ducks. So, what are you going to spoil ducks for me? Because I might have to hit you. Go
on. I'm just going to say to anyone listening, if you are just eating or just about to eat, you might just want to hold off for a minute. It's one of those stories that you sort of weigh up, should I tell it or not? But I think I'm going to.
Brace yourselves, people. Brace yourselves.
I was away with a mate of mine. We were camping by the river in Oxfordshire on the Thames. Lovely little place. There's a lovely little pub called the Barley Mow right by the campsite. It's where Jerome K. Jerome stopped off when he did his journey and wrote his little book about his trip down the Thames. Lovely, picturesque, right?
And we're, so far, this sounds like a nice story.
We're on the campsite, and we'd had quite a lot to drink. We'd been to the pub, we'd been shopping, we had a lot of alcohol while we were sitting there just watching the world and the river go by. So much so that my mate got to the point where he wasn't well, and so
oh God. Oh, no, I can see where it's going.
So anyway, he wasn't well all over the grass, right?
Oh.
And in the darkness, it was dark by now. We weren't in a position to clean out. We'll sort it out in the morning. We got up in the morning, came out. Ducks were there, did a great job cleaning it up. I mean, honestly, it was just the most horrific thing in many ways. We're thinking, like, they're not fussy. Like, these ducks ain't fussy. They're eating... you know. You've gone very quiet, Ben.
I don't want to play what ifs anymore.
Well, Ben, we've reached the point of the podcast that everyone's been waiting for. Everyone's been forget everything else, get to this point. It's part four of our murder mystery, Shadows of Deceit, a murder mystery at Wimsey Manor.
I feel like I should open up this chapter of the story with an apology.
Right.
I listened back to chapter three.
Yeah.
And my voice for Dr. Edmund Winters was all over the shop.
Well, I didn't want to say, but it started off okay, because I think we had a conversation about what voice was needed, because you sort of did an Arnold Whitman type voice, so we went for a more sort of I don't know, like a PhD voice. But then you went a bit, it's almost went a bit French.
It did go a bit French. The second line I delivered was very French. It was a mess. I think I was just mishmashing all of the characters together.
Yeah.
I think I finally ran out of voices. The other voices are solid, but I'm kind of hoping that Dr. Winters gets killed off pretty quick, so I don't have to do his voice anymore.
Well, a very quick recap of what's happened. So in last week's episode, we still haven't discovered who the victim is. We are three episodes down. We don't know who the victim is. We seem not to really care who the victim is.
No.
But we have found a diary that's full of symbols and codes, which seems to suggest that we all know each other, all the characters have got a past that's somehow intertwined. Then we had
Dr. Edmund Winters relentlessly ringing the doorbell.
Yeah, so then he came in and said that, what did he say, that there was the house had history? So what was it he said?
Dr. Winters actually said that Wimsley Manor has a history steeped in secrets and shadows, and that every one of our guests was unwittingly playing a part in a tale that spans generations.
That's right. And then we heard a noise that seemed to come from the library, so we ended last week with us all just on the cusp of heading to the library. So as always, I've not opened the script yet. I'm going to open it now. Are you ready for this, Ben?
Yes, and like you say, I haven't read this either. This is completely AI generated and new to us both.
Okay, here we go then. Shadows of Deceit, a murder mystery at Wimsley Manor, part 4.
Shadows of the Past. The guests cautiously enter the library, where they discover a dishevelled room with books scattered on the floor. In the centre of the chaos lies the lifeless body of Dr. Edmund Winters. Get in, my son!
And when did he leave us?
How the fuck did that happen?
When did he leave us last week? He only just arrived and we just introduced him.
Wow. I feel terrible all of a sudden. I feel like I made it happen. I feel like I wished it.
Well, I think you have. Well, at least you don't have to do the fucking voice anymore.
Oh, thank Christ for that. In the centre of the chaos lies the lifeless body of Dr. Edmund Winters. A look of shock frozen on his face.
Dr. Winters, he's been murdered.
This is getting out of hand. It seems the killer will stop at nothing to protect their secrets.
It's as if the shadows themselves conspire against us. I must capture this darkness in my paintings.
Now, I do know that we asked for a sort of eccentric French painter, but I do wish he would stop wanging on about his fucking paintings.
No, but whatever happens in front of me, I must capture on the canvas. It may be a lifeless body, a naked lady, or a lovely natural scene. I must capture it right there and then.
For any confused listeners, Trevor's now ad-libbing. This is not in the script. Sorry, I won't interrupt. Give us the line again.
It's as if the shadows themselves conspire against us. I must capture this darkness in my paintings.
Darkness indeed, Leclerc. It seems with
I don't like the lip smacking. I want to draw a line under the lip smacking.
He's a saucy vicar.
I know. Reverend Thorne is a very saucy vicar, but I draw a line at the lip smacking. It's giving me the ick.
Hang on.
Darkness indeed, Leclerc. It seems we're dancing with danger.
Vix McAllister, her resolve unwavering, approaches the body.
We can't let fear consume us. Dr. Winters must have uncovered something important. Let's search for clues.
Yes, but do so with purpose and discipline. This is not a time for amateur detective work.
As they investigate, they discover a hidden compartment in a dusty old bookshelf. Inside, they find a collection of old letters, each one revealing a piece of the manor's history and its connection to their own pasts.
These letters detail a web of secrets, betrayals, and hidden treasures. It's all tied to Wimsley Manor.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, this isn't fair.
Yeah. Oh. So you've got to do the voice. You've got to do it.
Right. Dr. Winters.
We should say recorded.
Voice
from a hidden recorder. Who's pressing play? Well, we don't know where. I'm sure that'll come out.
I've got to do the voice again. What a fucking... Right, fine.
Go on, go on.
Fine.
Your hearing means I'm no longer here to guide you. You must uncover the truth and stop the cycle of deception.
Tension rises as the guests realize they're in a race against time to solve the mystery and protect their own lives.
Dr. Winters hinted at a cycle of deception. Could that mean the killer is among us?
We can't rule anyone out at this point. We need to stay vigilant. Just as they prepare to continue their investigation, the doorbell rings again.
Oh, here we go. How long before we open this, the door this time?
Oh, God.
All right.
Another interruption. At this rate... I've seen we go. This seems to be going to, I don't know, what's her name? Headmistress? I'm slowly morphing into that. Another interruption. At this rate, I fear we'll never get to the bottom of this.
Hang on, I'm going to say that again because he's a saucy Vic. I'm going to say that again.
And you, by the way, you have gone full on Headmistress Worthington at
right,
this
I'm
point.
I'm going to go back to Reverend Thorne. Right.
Yeah, please restore his original voice. Stop it. You see, what you're doing now is I've revealed a weakness where I don't like that, and now you're amping it up.
Another interruption. At this rate, I'll feel we'll never get to the bottom of this.
Trev answers the door and returns with a surprise guest.
Ladies and gentlemen. It's like I'm introducing like a... Ladies and gentlemen. It's like the X Factor. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh.
And, right. Ladies and... Roll up. Ladies and gentlemen. May I introduce Miss Lily Fitzgerald, a renowned psychic.
Fuck's sake.
She claims to have insights into our predicament.
Who is playing Miss Fitzgerald? Who is playing Lily Fitzgerald the psychic?
Do you want me to do it?
I think it's only fair because I took the voice of Dr. Edmund Winters, who is, of course, one of my characters, immediately murdered. So this is your one, I think, mate.
Okay, so she's a psychic. I might do a bit like Mystic Meg.
Good.
My dear guests, I sense a darkness that envelops this manor. But fear not, for I also see a glimmer of truth.
A psychic? This should be interesting. Miss Fitzgerald proceeds to share her visions and insights, unveiling long-buried secrets and hinting at the identity of the killer. For fuck's sake!
Here's my catchphrase. It's my catchphrase.
Perhaps my paintings.
This is ludicrous.
Right. Perhaps my paintings can capture these visions as well. They could hold the key to solving this mystery.
The group is left with a sense of urgency as they now have a psychic's revelations to guide them. The shadows of the past and the secrets of Wimsley Manor grow darker, but they inch closer to unravelling the truth. Suddenly, the lights flicker ominously, plunging the room into darkness. Everyone, stay together. We are not alone in this darkness.
Well, one thing that I want to point out is I've noticed throughout all these scripts where we could get to some real detail about what's happening, it's just skipped past. I think we had it with the doctor when he arrived last week. There was just a line that says, the doctor gives lots of information. And we've got this with the psychic this time. Like, the psychic comes in, says hello, and then it just says, Miss Fitzgerald proceeds to share her visions and insights, unveiling long-buried secrets. We don't know what they are.
Yeah, I know. I mean, share it with the audience might be an idea. Yeah. Not just the characters, but fine.
Perhaps my paintings. Yes,
oh,
yes.
For fuck's sake. The sooner he's dead, the better.
So, are we any further to having any definite suspects yet? Have you got any ideas, any thoughts?
No, but I am pleased that we at least have a named murder victim.
Yes.
Dr. Edmund Winters and a body in the other room. But we have a named victim, so that's exciting. It means we can finally rule out one suspect. It can't be Edmund Winters.
I mean, there was no clues as to how he ended up in the library last week. He must have slipped out somewhere. So it still makes me think, you know, is there someone else in the house? Or is one of the group got a secret passage that they knew about to get to the library? I don't know.
I do feel at this point I should stress that none of these questions may or may not be answered by the end of this story. This is completely AI generated. We have not read it through. So this might come to nothing. All of these threads and storylines might be absolutely for the ducks.
All of this could rubbish. Be a complete waste of time. Anyway, part five, the penultimate episode, next week. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, a few recommendations of things for you to watch. By the way, did you watch the Shepherd programme that I mentioned last week?
No, I didn't watch the Shepherd programme, but I did, and I am, fulfilling my promise of last week. Me and Mrs. Ben, we have a little date night set up.
Me and Mrs. Ben.
For this Thursday, we're going to see Saw 10 at the cinema.
Are you?
Yeah, we've booked our tickets and everything. We're very excited. And as I mentioned last week, I am renewing my memory of all the previous Saw films. So since we last spoke, I have seen 7 Saw films.
That and can't be good for your brain.
No, it isn't. It's starting to take its toll. And I think I'm losing my stomach for the gore of these things, because I used to be a lot better, but now I feel like I'm clutching at the sofa and sort of squeezing the pillows and wincing a lot more than I used to. But I've got 2 to go, and then I get my my treat on Thursday night, Saw 10.
Wow.
By the way, what moron decided they would take Saw 10 out of the cinemas on Thursday the 12th of October. It's Halloween month. You didn't want to show Saw 10 on Friday the 13th? You fucking idiots.
Well, why wouldn't you keep it there till Halloween itself?
Golden opportunity missed. Saw 10, Friday the 13th. It would sell out. I'll tell you what, they've missed a trick.
Perhaps they think it could encourage somebody to do something on Friday the 13th. Maybe they don't want that on their conscience. Should it happen? I've got a few things to throw out. Again, I'm not sure you're going to go along with me on all of these.
Probably not.
This week. First of all, is a documentary. Now, I recommended series 3 of this a while back, assuming it was the final series, but it's been back for a 3 episodes. Rise of the Nazis. And
Jesus Christ.
Series 4 has been The Manhunt. So this has been about the hunt for the Nazis after the war.
Right, okay. Well, I thought my talking about Saw would be the most gruesome thing on this recommendation section. But okay, Rise of the Nazis. Enjoy.
I have to say, I've really enjoyed this. I'm assuming we are now at the end of this series. I can't see where else we're going. We got to about 1982 when they finally got one of the worst criminals and got him into a courtroom and had him prosecuted and sent to prison.
I don't really want to, you know, dwell on this for too long or pull you up on it too harshly, but one of the worst Nazis, so they didn't get one of the good ones, no?
Well, I mean, I think this one in particular, he was called the Butcher of Lyon. I'm not sure this is the podcast to go into detail about.
No, probably not, but no.
But you can imagine how terrible he would have been.
Right. I'm stumped. You've done it. I don't know. Move on.
Well, you don't want to talk about it too much because you don't want to stop your gold coming to you. The other things I'm going to throw out there is the final series of Ghosts has just started on BBC One. And I am so excited and yet sad about this. They're all available in the iPlayer, but I don't want to binge them all, because you know when you know it's the final series of something you've absolutely loved, you don't want it to come to an end, right?
Very much like me in the Saw franchise.
There you go. But on the other hand, I think I'm going to have to watch them all because I don't want it spoiled. I don't want anyone putting on Twitter, oh, at the end this happened. So I feel I'm going to have to binge watch them all, and then knowing that that's it. I'm never going to know an episode of Ghosts afresh again. And that's a sad thing, because it is one of my favourite TV shows of all time.
Travis, the old showbiz trope of always leave them wanting more.
Well,
it's an old showbiz trope that we have chosen to ignore.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, yeah. nearly 200 episodes. I think most people thought after about 50 that would be more than enough.
I mean, always leave them wanting more implies that at some point they wanted any. We've flouted the whole rule.
And the final thing I'm going to throw out there, now this is a controversial one. I haven't watched it yet.
Controversial than the Nazis.
Well, this is The Reckoning, the Jimmy Savile drama.
Oh, is it finally out?
We're recording this on Monday. Episode 1 is on BBC One this evening. They are all available on the iPlayer, though. All the episodes are already there. And this is Steve Coogan playing Jimmy Savile. And it's been controversial for many reasons, obviously. But I have to say, I'm quite intrigued to watch it.
I saw a few of these sort of teasers for it. Steve Coogan, he is a very chillingly accurate Jimmy Savile. It's quite disturbing.
Yes. So anyway, I've seemed to have thrown out a few controversial things to watch.
That's all right. Like Pierre Leclerc's paintings, the complicated brushstrokes of life, my paintings or some shit.
Perhaps
like that.
Yeah. My paintings. Well, there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, or maybe send a painting. We'll show it next week in the gallery. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well. Au revoir.
Bye. I'll stop it.